A very warm welcome to everyone. It's wonderful to be here. And a special welcome if you're back in church after a long time or joining us for the first time this morning. It's wonderful to have Stephen's sister Carol with us. Warm welcome to you this morning. Well, as Dave has already, Nigel has already alluded to, we're in the second week of our New Year's series about the building up of a local church. And it's a wonderful subject for us to revisit at the beginning of the year. And although it's ultimately Christ who builds his church, we're invited to be his partners as we believe, belong, and become. Last week, we looked at believing and how important it is for us to believe the right things. And next week, we'll be thinking through becoming all that God has called us to become. And this week, we're looking at what it means to belong to the Lord and to each other as we build together in unity. Now, I want to suggest an analogy of sorts, a kind of modern-day parable, if you will, to work with this morning, that a local church should be built like a wagon wheel. I don't have a wagon wheel. I don't know if anyone else has a wagon wheel in their garden, but I do have a bicycle wheel, and a bicycle wheel is rather similar to a wagon wheel, and now my hands are nice and black. The universal church, made up of all Christians throughout history, is like a huge fleet of wagons, with some of the wagons having carried the gospel to different places on the earth in days gone by, and other wagons still doing so today. As Christians, as a 2023 local church in Guernsey, we belong to that great fleet. And one day we'll stand together before the throne of God, worshiping with all our might, with one heart, and with one voice. I hope you enjoyed singing that this morning, how much greater it will be when we stand before the throne of God with all Christians from every age, all God's people, singing together with one heart and one voice. Until that great day, every local church is like one of the wheels among that great fleet of wagons, serving alongside other local churches that are in line with God's design for local church to carry the work of the gospel to all nations. In thinking about each individual wheel or each individual local church that currently is or has ever been, the first point worth noting is that wheels tend not to reach their full potential on their own. Edward Pratt, a young British adventurer who was born in 1995, decided to circumnavigate the globe on a unicycle. If you're not familiar with a unicycle, it's kind of like a bicycle, except it only has one wheel. Surprisingly, he succeeded in achieving this unbelievable goal between 2018, but that makes no sense. What was it? I can't remember. Sorry, I wrote down the wrong thing. But it took him 3 years, and I'm sure it was a lot of fun, but a lot less effective than it could have been in terms of efficiency if he had taken some other form of transport. And in his own words, if you don't see a pothole or a bump in the road, you're coming off. In other words, you're crashing. If I had a unicycle, I think I would come off after about, well, I don't even know if I'd be able to get on it. So he did well, but it was slow nonetheless. There's a lot of evidence in the New Testament of various local churches of the day partnering together with each other and encouraging one another. Besides being less effective on their own, local churches who aren't joined together with other local churches in some way are probably going to be less stable and more likely to hit a pothole and crash in one way or another. Of course, even a wagon can crash. Very sadly, we've seen whole denominations crash, in a sense, over the years. But we're definitely stronger together, which is one of the reasons that I'm very grateful that we as New Life Church are firmly partnered with a wonderful network of almost 700 doctrinally sound churches from all across the United Kingdom called the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. And if you don't know much about the FIEC, you can look at their website, fiec.org.uk, and I hope if you do look at it, you'll grow in excitement for what that's all about. Now, how should a local church be built like a wagon wheel? Well, if we look at a wheel, we see there's a center hub, and then there's spokes and a rim and a tire. And those are the parts of a wheel that we're going to be considering this morning. The hub will represent the need for every local church to be Christ-centered. The spokes and the rim will represent the importance of unity, the tire, the burden of leadership, and the forward momentum, the role of the Holy Spirit. And I could think of so many puns, role being one of them. When we think of a wheel, I spoke to James and I promised that did I promise that I'd keep them out? Probably not. But I'll try to keep them for just James afterwards. So let's start by thinking about the hub, the need to be Christ-centered. Last week we thought about belief, that what we believe matters, and it's crucial that we believe the right things. We discover in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, that from being idol worshippers, the Thessalonian Christians came to believe the right things about the living and true God. Praise be to God that these idol worshippers were completely transformed by the message of the gospel. The bottom line is that the living and true God revealed to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ needs to be the center of every true local church. Christ needs to be central to our worship, and his life and gospel work need to be central to our teaching. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's how Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. If you think about a wagon wheel, if the central hub is warped or out of shape, or bicycle wheel, any kind of wheel, if the central hub is warped or out of shape, the whole cart will be thrown off balance. And the message that is supposed to be carried by a local church, if this is the case, will become distorted or entirely lost. And so too, it is essential that an unwarped and in shape belief in the risen Christ and in the finished work of the cross is central to every true local church. Moving on to the spokes and the rim as we consider the importance of unity. The very first words of this letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, leaves no doubt in our mind that this particular letter was written to the local church, the Thessalonian local church. We know then that the original audience of the one another statements that we find in chapter 5 are the members of the local Thessalonian church. And they're being called to unity. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15 says, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Verse 15, this verse makes an interesting distinction between the one another's who are part of the local church and everyone else who is not. So the important point made is that whether other folk are part of the church or not, Scripture clearly calls us to love all people and to seek to do good to them. And yet Scripture also makes it clear that there is a special bond and a very suitable, special sense of belonging that we have with those who are part of the local church to which we belong. By way of this morning's analogy, let me suggest to you that those who are part of a particular local church are like the spokes that are part of a particular wheel. And unless there is a very good reason to do so, spokes aren't simply moved from one wheel to another. Now, in thinking about spokes, one of the most obvious things that comes to mind is the fact that each spoke needs to be equal for the wheel to function properly. If that isn't the case, the wagon will be in for a really bumpy ride and the wheel will fall apart rather quickly. The Bible makes it very clear that all are equal at the foot of the cross. So from God's perspective, we are all equal. The question is whether a local church lives this out. James chapter 2 helps us see that common love and respect for one another should be deeply ingrained as a practice within every local church. James puts it like this: "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God." As a response to the faith that we have, we should love one another. Now, equality doesn't mean that we're all the same, and it doesn't mean that we all have the same gifts and callings, and it also doesn't mean that no matter what an individual within a congregation, a local church might believe, that all ideas are equal. All ideas are most certainly not equal. But it does mean that we are all equal in our connection to Christ, who is the center, and equal in our importance in his kingdom if we belong to God. Here I'm talking about equality between Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female, for we are all one in Christ. That's what Galatians 3 verse 28 says, and Colossians 3 verse 11 is very similar. Although there are different roles and responsibilities taken on by different people within a local church according to God's calling and design, from the oldest to the youngest and from the most spiritually mature to the least, nobody here is more important than anybody else. And none of us are in greater or lesser need of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like the equal spokes on a wheel, we are all equal at the foot of the cross. And as equal spokes, we all need to be connected to the rim of unity that binds us together in Christ-centered love. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. That's the first verse of Psalm 133. Now, with all of this in mind, many of you will know that about a year ago, we embarked on a process of establishing a new system of church membership here at New Life Church. It's been something that's been quietly running in the background since then, and the elders have quite deliberately kept it so because it is very much a secondary issue. But even as a secondary issue, it's worth revisiting on occasion. So let me ask you this. Is it possible to have the kind of unity that we've been considering this morning without having an official system of local church membership? The answer is absolutely. There is no question about this. The primary issue of Christian unity within a local church is the biblical practice of unity, and not the functional expression of having it in writing. It's much better for us to practice actual unity than to have an official membership that's carefully worked out and in place, in which case we might not actually have unity, but it's there on paper. And yet, although this is a secondary issue, there is some evidence for local church membership in Scripture, and it's of some value as an expression of our unity. And so to this end, next week, the names of those who have applied for membership and who have already met with the elders about their applications for membership will be available at the back of the church, and that will be next week. If you're new or haven't yet officially joined membership, I would warmly encourage you to still consider doing so, to join that list in your own time. And if you have any questions about membership at New Life Church, please do come and have a chat to me or one of the other elders. Whether you do or don't officially join membership, the practice of Christ-centered unity is what's most important. All are very welcome here at New Life Church, and as 1 Thessalonians 5, verse the second part of verse 13 into 14 urges us to do, all of us are encouraged to be at peace among ourselves, to diligently become all that God has called us to be, and to challenge others to be the same, to encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with others. That includes the young, who are sometimes noisy, the different, who we might not understand. In the end and throughout the journey, we should love others as Christ loves us. And so moving on to the tire and a consideration of the burden of leadership. Now, as I've said, I've got a few parts of the tire here, of a wheel here, and the tire is the messy part, really. If the wheel if the wheel hub is Christ, and if the spokes are the members who are called to be joined together by the rim of Christ-centered unity, I think that the leadership team is the tire. And I don't say this because leading can be tiring at times, or because there's some retired folk on the leadership team. as I said, there were so many puns. come on, throw one out, James. He had a bespoke pun earlier, but all right. To re-emphasize the point that I made a little earlier, although leadership is a particular role within the local church, each local leader is a fellow spoke in the wheel and stands on equal ground at the foot of the cross together with everyone else. But local church leaders, and especially the elders, which includes the pastor, also are called to hit the road first and get the wagon going. That's what tires are supposed to do. And that's why Paul refers to the Thessalonian church leaders as those who labor among you. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. He also refers to the leaders as those who are over the local church, which at first glance might sound like superiority. So the leaders look over the church. But when we think about how a tire is over a wheel, we see that this isn't in a lording or high sense, but in a serving and lowly sense. Like a tire that faces stones and dirt and thorns along the way, church leadership isn't glorious within itself. But if done well, it can be glorifying to God, and that makes everything worthwhile. And so Paul goes on to urge the Thessalonians to do what they can to help their leaders rather than to hinder them, and to pray for them as they labor that they might do well in leading and serving. And then in verse 13, Paul calls the Thessalonians to love their leaders. And I must say that here at New Life Church, I truly feel loved. And I must say that it makes all the difference to my labor. It makes it a real joy. There's no question about it that with Christ at the center, we are much stronger together. And on the note of being stronger together, if a tire isn't finding traction, it's not finding the traction that it needs to move smoothly along the way, it's important to evaluate why this might be the case. Could there be an obstacle in the way that needs removing or working around? Or might the wheel itself need a little tweaking? As the leadership team of New Life Church goes about clearing obstacles and sometimes tweaking how we lead for God's glory, we always value feedback as we press on together, especially when your feedback is grounded in Christ-centered love and unity. You might have noticed an obstacle that we didn't know was there. Again, together we are stronger. Now, in light of this, having reflected on and prayed through some valuable feedback regarding our approach to membership, the elders have decided to make a few changes to the booklet that was distributed last year. For those familiar with the booklet, which looks like this, the most significant change is that we have decided to take the fourth step on page 19 away. And we don't think that what was originally in the booklet is unbiblical in any way. And a similar approach to what we have on kind of laid out on page 19 is practiced by many healthy local churches around the world. But the changes that we've prayerfully decided to make are biblically sound. Even though what was there was biblically sound, what we've moved towards is also biblically sound. Membership is one of the issues that isn't explicitly laid out for us in Scripture. And so it's important for the elders to consider the context that they find themselves in and prayerfully establish what something like membership looks like in their particular local church. Again, it's not something that the Bible lays out very clearly for us. And so we have to work it out as we go. And so the changes that we've made are biblically sound, but we hope that they will be helpful in our particular context, encouraging more folk to put up their hands and join local church membership at New Life Church. So please do look out for the new version of the booklet. Once it has been finished, we'll let you know when that is. And please do come and chat to myself or to any of the other elders. If you've got more feedback about membership or about anything else, again, your feedback and your questions and your comments and your encouragement is very helpful to us. Well, we move to our final point, that the forward momentum comes from the role of the Holy Spirit. And whether we think of pedal power or horsepower, whatever kind of power a wagon might have, without forward momentum, a wagon goes nowhere. The Bible is clear that local churches are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So as a local church, are we in tune with the Spirit? Are we open to the Holy Spirit moving us forward or slowing us down? Or do we try to control the pace ourselves? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19 says, do not quench the Spirit. So as a local church, let's do everything we can not to put a spanner in the works of what the Holy Spirit might be trying to do among us, or speed things up when actually the Holy Spirit wants us to go at a steady and slower pace. Two key biblical kind of principles come up when we think about ways that we can hamper the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Quench the Spirit. And these are by walking in sin or by walking in disunity. Those are two of the primary ways that we quench the work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7 to 8 says, "For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you." And that's really what this whole portion of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5 is about too, walking in purity and in unity. As we think about these two words, purity and unity, how are we doing as individuals and as a local church? Are we open to the moving of the Holy Spirit among us as we walk in purity and unity to the best of our ability, relying on God's grace and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ all along? Well, everyone in Guernsey has been speaking about the storm, and everybody seems to have a story. What is your story? Were you safely tucked inside, or were you outside dealing with a damaged property, or just enjoying the wild weather? I don't know. I'm someone who kind of enjoys that sort of thing. What thoughts came to mind as the storm blew over Guernsey? Well, as we draw to a close, what is your story when it comes to the local church? If you've regularly attended church in times gone by, here or elsewhere, has your experience been that church has been a safe haven from the storms of life? Or perhaps has church been a stormy place where you've experienced or been the cause of all kinds of storms? For most of us, we've probably experienced both of these dynamics. And churches can be stormy places because we've got an enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and also because we're fallible beings. Each one of those spokes in the wheel is fallible, including the leaders, including every one of us. And so no local church is perfect. But my prayer is that each one of us knows or comes to know a deep sense of belonging here at New Life Church, and that our love and unity grows all the more in the days to come. Together we are stronger, together we will go further, and together we will reach out to more people with the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the goal for the glory of God. Amen.